tweet at TodaySOR.
The last few years have been a boom, or have seen a boom, I should say, in UK used car imports into Ireland. A week in sterling means there are bargains to be had, and buyers are snapping them up, so much so that a report issued earlier this year predicted that 2019 would see more cars bought secondhand from the UK than new from Irish dealers. All of that, of course, may be about to change. Anton Savage is here with the bad news. I suppose we blame Brexit.
We blame Brexit, but I think we have to give Brexit a bit of the credit first, because part of the reason why there has been, and obviously, by the way, we should preface this by saying, buy Irish, yada yada yada, it's terrible for Irish dealers, no Irish dealer wants to see somebody going overseas to buy in the UK. But what has happened, of course, is since the Brexit vote came through, sterling fell off its little cliff, and you had a shift in sterling from back in, let's say, started 2016, I think 1 euro was worth 76p. As of today, that's about 90p, which makes roughly a 20% drop in the currency values. That's a big chunk of change if you're importing something that costs you 20 or 30,000 pounds sterling.
Sterling will hardly strengthen, particularly in the event of a no deal. So bargains will still be there?
Yes, bargains will still be there in the sense that the cars will still be cheaper in the UK than they are here, and the sterling value may, although there's a theory that it's priced in, but it may go down even more. The difficulty will be in bringing them back in, because suddenly you'll have to pay VAT, and you're going to have to pay whatever is the correct duty tariff on bringing a car in from the UK. If someday you want to lower your own sense of self-esteem about how bright you are, try to work out the tariff system off the EU's website. It is the most phenomenally confusing bureaucratic thing. There is pages and pages and pages of delineation of every single product. Toaster, white, 8 slices. Toaster, black, 2 slices. So at the end of wading through all of it, I just despaired and went on social media and says, can anybody tell me what this is going to cost? The answer came back as 10%, according to Intertrade Ireland, is what the additional duty will be. So when you throw on 10% of duty plus 23% of VAT, unless sterling goes completely into the toilet, as of Brexit, you won't get good
deals. So if you're
going to
do it, you've got to do it by the end of October.
The window is closing. That is exactly it. As soon as the UK becomes a third country, which is end of October, your deals are going to get more expensive. To give you a sense of the kind of savings that you can make, I had a look at one of the most common or one of the most popular cars in Ireland, which is the Nissan Qashqai, just to take as a random sample. You can get a 2017 Nissan Qashqai currently on sale in Ireland for €20,950. Now, I'll keep everything in euro just to show you the comparisons. In the UK, almost the exact same car, more or less the same mileage, same 1.5 diesel, 16 grand.
Okay, so it's nearly 5,000.
Straight off the bat, yeah. Now what you now have to go through and say, well, okay, let me add in all the bits that are going to grow on that. Because when you look at just the two values straight away, you can be conned into thinking there's a great deal to be had. You go on revenue.ie, you put in the type of car, they have a big breakdown there in a calculator, and you discover that your VRT is going to be 3 grand on top of that. And then you've all your sundries, because you're going to have to get to the UK, you're going to have to get a taxi from the airport to wherever the dealer is that you find the car, you're going to have to pay for the diesel to get the car back to Holyhead to put it on the ferry. When you tot all of it up, it comes to about 19 and a half versus a new price at 21. So you're saving in and around the region of about a grand and a half.
Right, 5% in this case,
yeah,
then. Yeah,
not bad. For a lot of people, they'll say, grand and a half isn't chicken feed, well worth the trip.
And you get a weekend away. A lot of people, though, will be wary of buying sight unseen. How tricky is that?
Well, this is one of the things that has changed phenomenally in the last number of years, because it used to be that you would be looking through UK car magazines, you'd find the car that you wanted, and to some extent, even out of a dealer, it was a pig in a poke. Now it's so much more easily with online, because you can get Google reviews to see whether or not the dealer is has a good standing. You can check out their Facebook pages, you can check out their website, and a lot of the dealers will now, if you get in touch with them and you say, yeah, I'm interested, but what's the interior like in the car? Most of them now, as a matter of course, will give you personalised videos of the car. So they'll give you a full walk around. So you're not really buying sight unseen in the way that you once were. You'd still want to be in the holier health to do a sort of an Arthur Daly side of the road, man in a camel hair coat deal. But as long as you're going to a halfway reputable dealer, you're likely to do fairly well. And the one thing that I would suggest is, if you're searching online, They tend to, in the UK, do searches by postcode, which is confusing because, well, who knows what a UK postcode is. The one for Chester is always a good one, because if you throw in CH11AF as the postcode and do a 100-mile radius of Chester, that gives you Liverpool, Sheffield, Birmingham, Manchester, Nottingham. You get all these big cities, so you have a fair... You're casting your net wide, and you're not going to end up having to drive to Maidstone to bring the car back.
Yeah, but what about the after-sale service though, Anton? Long way to go back.
It is a long way to go back. But most dealers will stand over the car second-hand and give you a warranty for a while, which you are highly unlikely to use. But if it puts a rod out through the block on the drive home, it's nice to know that you can pay the €100 and put it back on the ferry. But again, times have changed. You're not buying the International Space Station. It's a modern car. If it's relatively young and relatively low mileage, it's highly unlikely that anything is going to go wrong with it. The only thing that I would suggest, though, is if you're flying over to the UK to pick this up, do have a fallback, how am I going to get home plan? Because just on the infinitesimally small chance that you arrive and you go, oh, this is not really what I want at all.
Yeah, there was no Pong on the video that sent me.
Correct. You don't want to say, stick your car now, can you give me a lift back to the airport? So it's always good to have a return journey planned just on the off chance.
Now, once you get the car back into this country, how complicated is the process you have to go through?
It's interesting. Okay, let me explain what happens when you bring a car back in. When you arrive back in, a clock starts to tick. From the moment the car lands on Irish soil, you have 7 days to make an appointment to get it registered. Then you have 30 days to actually do the registration, and then I think you have 7 days after that to tax it. If you miss any of those deadlines, a meter clicks in and revenue charge you, I don't know, something like 0.28 of an eighth of the nth degree of a percent per minute. But it starts to get more and more expensive if you go outside
any
of those deadlines.
So what happens at the appointment then when it happens?
You get sent a thing by the NCT now do it. So you go to your NCT centre and they send you a list of paperwork, which is the most intimidating thing that you've ever seen in your life. You have to bring a VRTV PD2 form. You have to bring a certificate that proves that the car is of a certain emission standard. You have to bring your passport. You have to bring proof of where you live, so a bill. You have to bring proof of when the car landed in the country, so receipts from the ferry and all that. It's a pack of documentation.
The mileage can be tricky if it's too low.
This is an interesting one, because one of the things, on that example of the Nissan Qashqai that I cited, if directly beside it on the same UK website, there was an almost identical car with almost no mileage on it. It had, I think, 4,500 kilometres, and it looked like the perfect bargain because the price was about the same. The tricky thing is, revenue in Ireland defines a new car as anything under 6 months old or anything under 6,000 kilometres. So even if it's 2016 and you get this gorgeous mint car that's less than 6,000 kilometres, when you land it here, they'll say, as far as we're concerned, that's new. You owe us the VAT.
Pay up.
So I know of one man who discovered this having brought the car in and ended up spending an entire weekend driving up and down the M1 trying to put enough mileage on the car that by the time he got it to the test, he'd be over the 6,000. So just check it's over that.
Speaking of the M1, I mean, post-Brexit, particularly if there's trouble in the port, he could be in quite a congested traffic flow.
Oh, there'll be loads of places for him to go. Sure, there's Apple Greens and he can go back where he came from, I believe.
Okay. Anton Savage, as ever, great to have you in studio with all of those insights. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.